This is Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia, and my co-host, Dr. Danielle Scherer of the Medical University of South Carolina, is on the line. This time, our topic is the observed increased incidence of type 2 diabetes among people who consume the greatest amounts of white rice. The effect was seen in a meta-analysis published this week in BMJ. Our guest is Dr. Ki Sun, the senior author on the paper. Dr. Sun is in the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health and is an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School. Welcome, Dr. Sun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The white rice has been a food staple for thousands of years. And why did you suspect that it might have a link with the risk for type 2 diabetes?
Historically, I think in ancient time, most people just work in the fields, cultivate crops, and raise a family. So there's a huge amount of physical activity, actually, mm-hmm. on a daily basis. But recently, as you and many other know, that Asian countries, especially the developing countries, China and Korea, and they're undergoing rapid nutrient transition and lifestyle transition, pretty much westernized lifestyle and diet is very prevailing in China, mm-hmm. And other Asian countries that are undergoing a similar nutrition transition and lifestyle transition. So in this context, I think rice consumption, given that the lack of physical activity in nowadays societies, it may pose increased risk for developing type 2 diabetes, because the glycemic load contributed by this rice consumption may not be counterbalanced by the physical activity any longer.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You said that there is a nutritional transition as well as a lifestyle transition,
and
you think that the glycemic load of white rice is not being absorbed by the former level of increased physical activity.
Yes, that's precisely. So that's why, although historically white rice may not be a strongest factor for developing type 2 diabetes, but now it might pose some serious health problem, especially the type 2 diabetes risk. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to mention, in the past, many people may not live longer enough to develop this type 2 diabetes, but now the life expectancy is much elongated. So that's another reason why you see such a diabetes epidemic in China, okay. and in other Asian countries.
And you also found the diabetic effects of rice were quite different between the Asian and Western populations, some of which you explained by the relative rate of consumption of rice in those two different populations. But what are some other factors that you think are different in some ways other than level of rice consumption?
I think for Asian populations, again, this is a stable food. So the rice consumption is associated with other components of the diet. For example, if you say the white rice eaters also eat more vegetables and eat less meat. In Western populations, this is slightly different, because rice is not a simple food. But again, you see rice eaters tend to have slightly different lifestyle practices than non-rice eaters. But again, because we are doing this meta-analysis, we just utilize data already generated by the individual studies. I think in each individual study, controlled for a lot of lifestyle and dietary factors in their analysis. So the way we model this multivariate analysis, not only in my work, but also in other investigators' work, is just to tease out the effects of other non-relevant variables in the association between rice and diabetes.
And the other interesting thing that you mentioned in your article is not only is white rice a significant glycemic load, but there's through the milling process, it'll remove some of the husks and other nutrients that may actually prevent diabetes. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, that's precisely because to produce white rice, you need to also the hulling and the milling to remove the husk and the outer layers of the rice grain. So in this outer layer, primarily it's bran. We call it bran. So bran is very rich in some beneficial nutrients. For example, insoluble fiber, magnesium, some vitamins and lignans, and also other nutrients. And I think the literature is kind of consistent regarding the beneficial effects of insoluble fiber and magnesium in the diabetes risk. The higher those nutrients intake levels are, the lower the diabetes risk is.
Yep. Yep.
So I think it is possible that other than the glycemic load mechanism is for white rice eaters, they may have lower consumptions of those beneficial nutrients. That's another possible mechanism that explains this positive association between white rice and diabetes.
You're husking and milling away the protective outer sort of outer coating, I guess.
Yes.
I would imagine that there are going to be questions, Dr. Sun, for clinicians about patients who've heard about this research. The editorial comment in BMJ sounded a little skeptical, saying that they were praising the research, but they were encouraging the need for more data. What should patients be told about the findings?
First of all, I want to summarize a little bit of what I found in this research.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we found in Asian countries, the high versus low consumption levels of white rice is associated with a significantly increased risk of type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
In Western populations who had much lower white rice consumption levels, the association is weaker. So I think it's the message for the patients and for a general population is different for Asian countries. That is different for Western countries. About how much white rice a person eats, I think it's if it's just occasionally like 1 to 2 servings per week, the risk of diabetes should be very small. But if you increase your consumption significantly, like for example, 2 to 3 servings per day, then the patient may have increased risk, significantly increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes. But we do have an alternative way of consuming, the carbohydrates. Over years, we know there are good carbohydrates, there are bad carbohydrates. So we can recommend the patient in the general population to really pay attention to the quality of their carbohydrate by switching from refined carbohydrates such as white rice and other sources of refined carbohydrate to whole grains.
Whole grains such as what?
Whole grains such as whole wheat, barley, and even brown rice to just really lower down your risk of type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of believe we need more data to just say whether rice, especially on the mechanism, we need to see more clinical trial data to see whether replacement of white rice with brown rice and other whole grains can lead to improved glucose metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. But at the same time, I think we don't have to wait for evidence because the literature regarding whole grains and association with type 2 diabetes is rather consistent. So I think clinicians and other health professionals could tell otherwise the patients to just switch from refined carbohydrates to whole grains to really help reduce their risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
Right, just sort of across the board, not just, I mean, we've expanded the scope, away from rice to a more generalized message, which is, switching to whole grains in general.
Yeah.
Not just white to brown rice, but because it's always hard, with patients, you don't just want to tell them what not to do, you want to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
The message is it's not just don't eat white rice, it's if you're going to eat them sparingly and substitute with whole grain carbohydrate.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for spending time with us today and talking about your research.
It's my pleasure, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was our 149th edition. The other 148 may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch, whose website is jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adoriano. I'm Joe Elia. Dr. Danielle Schurer and I thank you for listening.